Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Today we ask, who is a Christian? What's the description of a Christian which we find in the Scriptures? What's the Bible teaching or the doctrine concerning the Christian? Well, we want to go to the Scriptures for an answer to our question. First, I'd like to say that the Christian is the one that has been born anew. On the occasion when Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night, there came a point in the conversation when Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." That reading from John chapter 3, verse 3 through verse 6. And here our Lord was teaching that just as a man is born into the physical world, he must also be born into the spiritual world. Christians are then twice born, born physically, and born spiritually. And when one understands that all men are sinners, as stated by Paul in Romans 3, verse 10 and verse 23, "There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And when a person realizes that, he's in a position to understand why man needs to be born anew. Indeed, all men are sinners, and they are dead spiritually, needing to be born again. And that's made clear by the Apostle Paul, who wrote to the Ephesian Christians, saying, "And you did he quicken," that is, he made you alive, "when you were dead through your trespasses and sins, wherein you once walked. But God, being rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved, and raised up with him, and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, verse 4, 5 and 6. "And because of sin, all men are spiritually dead until Christ causes them to live again, live anew." And then another way of conveying this same idea was used by the Apostle Paul in writing to the Romans. In Romans chapter 6, I want to read verse 3 through verse 6, and then verse 11. "Are you ignorant that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. Even so reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus." Now notice especially the phrase, newness of life. From one's sinful lost condition, through conversion, he becomes a Christian, and he comes into a condition of spiritual cleanliness. He comes into a condition of salvation. The Scriptures often indicate the role that Christ plays in cleansing the sinner of his sins. In Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for it is he that shall save his people from their sin." And John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life." And again, 1 John 1:7, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Now, in one of the early sermons delivered by the Apostle Peter after the establishment of the church, we find him saying, Acts 3:19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so there may be seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Now, this passage is an important passage. It calls men to repent. It calls men to be converted. And this is the heart was unworthy, but was changed by having come to know the Lord. Saul of Tarsus was yet another whose life was radically changed when he came to believe in Christ as the Son of God. And one of the thrilling stories of the New Testament is that of the wonderful changes that come in the lives of countless thousands of people. The kind of change is reflected in the Apostle Paul's words, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's found in Romans 12, verse 1 and verse 2. All through the New Testament, we learn that the Christian is one who wears the same name and one who appears outwardly as he did before his conversion, but who in actuality is a new creature. In the deepest sense, he's under new management. Jesus said, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross and follow me," Matthew 16:24. And so the Christian is one who has a new life purposes. He has new goals. Now he's dedicated to the service of God and to his fellow man rather than serving self. The Christian has a new outlook on life. The Christian has a new set of values. In the life of the Apostle Paul, we find an excellent example when he said in Philippians, "Howbeit what things were gained to me, those have I counted loss for Christ. Yea, verily, and I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but refuse, that I may gain Christ." Philippians 3, verse 7 and verse 8. The Christian engages in new activities. To quote the Apostle Paul, Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them." And then the Christian develops new habits of thinking, new habits of speech, new habits of dress, and of behavior in general. Profanity and vulgarity of speech are no longer a part of his life. Angry, lustful, envious thinking gives way to constructive, helpful meditation. Indecent or suggestive dress is replaced by modest apparel. And so he's a new creature. And whatever else may be, the Christian must be a person who lives according to the principles which Christ taught. And this very day, my friend, you can be a Christian. The disciples were called Christians in first in Antioch, Acts 11, verse 26. And Peter said, "If any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name." Are you a Christian? Or are you an erring Christian who's become a prodigal son or prodigal daughter of God who needs to repent and pray God for forgiveness and get back in a right relationship with the Lord?